just want to give this guy a hug. There's dreams. There's vision that is being birthed. Wow, for a minute I thought this service was going to go in a different direction completely until the Holy Spirit said, okay, we're done. Tidal wave, you dismiss. Today we're going to begin a new series called Connecting Dream to Destiny. And boy, do I have a word for you this morning. I have been waiting in anticipation to release this word. I shared with the team this morning that I feel like I'm like this racehorse that is being held back. And I'm like, let me loose. Let me go. I believe this is a powerful, powerful series. What we're going to start this morning, it's going to lead to many, many things that you're going to see unfolding here at Oceans United. This is going to be the tip of, I would say, the vision of where we're going. This is what's going to lead us into that new phase, new direction, new mission, new fulfillment of a dream, of a destiny that God has set aside for such a time as this. God has carved out a special time for this phase of Oceans United. It could not have happened 5 years ago. We're living now in a Kairos moment. This is a time, a Kairos moment in the Greek, it means a time that God set aside to do something spectacular. I believe we are living in this time where we are going to call this time a Kairos moment. A Kairos time where God uses this time. He in fact stops time to create this segment called a Kairos moment. He stopped the chronos. So I don't want you to be looking at your clock this morning. Okay? It comes with a little fair warning when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead. This is going in a different direction, and I'm happy with that. When the Holy Spirit leads, you just follow. And that's what we're going to do this morning. If you're taking notes, you got to write this down. If you're not taking notes, you got to write this down. This is how important it is. Okay, here you go. I'm telling you, we're going to move in the prophetic. And I'm going to release it right now. I'm not going to wait till the end of the service for you to get it. Because preachers, they got a funny way of doing this, messing with you a little bit and holding back until it's the last minute. No, I'm going to do it right from get-go. Okay? Number one is this. God has a dream for your lives. It's called your calling. Your calling is God's dream for your life. You've got to write this down. In this series, we're going to go back to this over and over and over again. If you don't get it now, you're going to get it at some point in time. Number two is this. God has a destiny for your lives. It's called your purpose. Your purpose. The reason why you're here on planet Earth at this moment in time. That's why I said you're not here by accident. You're here on a divine assignment from God. Do you want to hear the truth about dream and destiny? It's kind of like a hard truth. They are not the same. They are not the same. They both can come from God. And one cannot exist without the other. But here's the sad thing about dream and destiny. Many people live their life in the dream and not in the destiny. I believe this is the saddest thing for any Christian to have a dream from God, but never step into the destiny. I believe this is the saddest thing to know what excites me, to know what fills my cup, to know that I have a dream that comes from God, but yet again, I live my life nurturing that dream, getting excited about the dream, getting goosebumps about the dream, sharing the dream with families and friends, sharing openly about my dream, but yet again, never take a step towards the destiny, the fulfillment of the purpose. Because what's the use of having a dream and never step into the destiny? God has a dream for your life. It's called your calling. God has a destiny for your lives. It's called your purpose. This is how crucial this whole series is about, and I really don't want you to miss any of it. Because they all tie in. They tie in with the last two series that we've done. See, God coordinates things. He puts things in place that sometimes we don't even know why He's doing it that way. But yet again, He's doing it. Every single week, He's doing it. From the songs that we sing, from the way we conduct our service, He's at the head of every bit of it. He leads. He guides. And as we surrender, we walk in it. It starts with that point of you surrendering to it. So the last two series are going to tie in with this one. And it's going to tie in with something called Grow Track. It ties in with exactly where God is leading us as a body. The bottom, He says, it's a 4-week experience for anyone interested in taking the next step to discovering your purpose. It's time we quit living in the dream and discover the purpose that God has for you, God has for me, and we are unique. Your dream is not going to line up with my dream. That's the way it is. That's the way God made us different. It would be a boring church, or it might be the opposite, if everybody was just like me. I'm high energy. I gotta hold myself back sometimes. Because if I let loose, crazy things might happen. Can you imagine the service when if everybody was like me? So Grow Track is going to be very important. It's going to tie in exactly where we need to go. I want John and Lori to stand so that way you know. You get a face who's going to lead the Grow Track. This is John and Lori Whidden. They're going to be the leaders of the Grow Track, which is starting immediately. In the back, you're going to feel something. You're going to fill this out called Let's Connect. That's how we're going to get you connected with the dream and the destiny. It doesn't matter. Grow Track, if you're a new believer, it's for you. If you've been a believer for 77 years, it's for you too. Amen? It has no age limit. It's for everybody. Don and I, we've developed this and we've gone through it like several times. And each time we're like, wow, this is good. This is good. And God, speak more about the dream. Lead me more towards the destiny that you have for me. Amen. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Joel. It's time to get excited. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. For those who are new here, we do get excited about the Word of God at Oceans United. So this is our chance to get excited and get diving right into the Word. So this morning we're going to look at two different scriptures, Joel 2:28 and Ephesians 2:10. Okay? So we're going to start with this. Here's a question that you might have this morning, especially in light of what we've talked about in terms of dreams and vision, John having dreams when he came here. The question that you might have this morning is this: does God speak to us through dreams and visions? We're not crazy here, okay? God speaks to us through dreams and vision. He does. He says so in his book. It's called the Bible. In Joel 2:28, he says this. He says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit. That's a big thing there. My spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams and your young man see visions. So God uses dreams and visions to speak to his children. To release the calling. God will use dream to release the calling. God will use a dream and a vision to release you into your destiny. The one thing that he's called you to do in life. He's going to use a dream and a vision to tie that in together for you. And from that same scripture, it says this. I'm going to paraphrase this for a little bit. And if you get a little offended, get over it. God is not a respecter of your age. Your gray hair don't matter to God. Just the way it is. Your age doesn't matter. Your gender doesn't matter. He says your sons and your daughters will what? Prophesy. God doesn't care if you're a woman or a man. He's God and he's God all by himself. And he can use whomever he chooses. At some point in time in the Bible, even use a donkey. If God can use a donkey, He can certainly use me. You know, I can be a clown, and God can use me as a clown. Okay? I can make a fool of myself, and yet again, God can use me. God is not a respecter of person. He's not a respecter of my age. He's not a respecter of my gender. He doesn't care. All He wants is somebody to just say, "Yes, Lord, use me." Amen. That's it. That's all God is looking for, is somebody to just say, "Yes." Amen. Can it be me? Can it be me, God? And I'm here, use me. I'm here, send me. That's what God is looking for, is somebody to say yes to Him. And here's the other scripture. It's in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10. Here's another question that you might have. Does God have a plan? I mean, anything that I do, that I'm trying to do, ministry at home or anything that I do, this is where I start. Does God have a plan? Does He know what to do? Because I don't. I start there. And that is a good starting point for many of us. Because sometimes we got something, we got an idea, and we just run with it. We've never stopped and asked God about the plan. And then when we fail, or we don't do it right, then we're like, okay, where's the instructions? Have you ever done that when putting something together? You're halfway through it, and you're finding out pieces that you didn't even know were there in that box. And then you get done with the whole thing, and it doesn't even look anything close to what is on that picture. And you ended up with 5 screws left. One piece that did not fit in anywhere. And you say, you know, probably somebody got it wrong. It's not me. Probably somebody who designed this whole thing got it wrong. They must have. But God wants us to start everything with Him. And this is what the scripture says. It says, "For we, you and me, we are His workmanship." That word means masterpiece. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works." Good works. "Which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I mean, that's a crazy scripture right there. I remember the first time when I read this in 1996. I'm in England. Just got saved. It was June 1996. It was shortly after this. And I read this scripture. And I was like, my goodness. But I did not use those words, though. I used something else, but I can't tell you exactly what I said. But I'm like, oh my goodness, this just rattles my brain. Because I did not know that God can actually call me a masterpiece. Because I was all kinds of piece, but not a masterpiece. Not a masterpiece. I mean, I was all kind of ugly as a young Christian. And I was reading the scripture, and believe me, you know, I was just brand new as a Christian. No one in my family, except for my oldest brother, was a Christian at the time. No one that can actually tell me, what does that even mean? And I'm like, I'm reading this, and I remember just like, I'm pacing in my room, and I'm like, what does that mean? God is telling me that I am a masterpiece. Not when I get everything together that I'm a masterpiece. He's calling me a masterpiece now. In my mess. in everything that is wrong and out of order in my life, is calling me a masterpiece. And then he did not just stop there. And he said this, I have a master plan for you, my masterpiece. Not just any plan. One that I've set aside just for you. That no one else can fulfill this plan but you. I mean, this was gold to me. Gold. Because from where I come from in my previous Hindu faith, you have to work for it. And everybody that I served, every little demons that I serve, I had to work for it. I could never, ever, ever, ever please them. No matter what I did, I always came short. I was never good enough. In fact, the way that I led my life prior to Jesus was in fear of never amounting to anything, a fear of being rejected constantly by those gods that I served. It was rejection after rejection after rejection after rejection, and I fail each and every time. But when I read that scripture, that God called me a masterpiece, I just hung on to this. And I was like, this is mine. This is my scripture. I'm going to hold on to this because I found a God who calls me his masterpiece. And he's telling me that he's got a plan that he's waiting to release in my life. He was waiting for me to surrender, to let go of everything that I knew that was holding me back in the past. He wanted me to see for once a much bigger picture. He wanted me to see what he saw in me, because he was calling me a masterpiece, because he was calling me as the final product. It's like he looked at the box, he designed the final picture of that box, and he was calling me that. Amen. He was not calling me by the pieces, by the screws, by the every piece that you look at and you say, don't fit. That piece doesn't fit. That piece is ugly. When God saw me, he saw me at that final product. He called me by what he saw me at the end. He said, you are a masterpiece. Amen. That is the God that we serve. Yes. That is the God that is unfolding dreams today. Yes. He's the same. He's the same God in 1996 as he is in 2019. He never changed. So the same dream that God gave you in 1999, guess what? God is saying it's time to bring it back to the forefront. Amen. It's time to reignite those things that you buried in the past that you thought were ugly. You thought there were screws that were missing, so you never bothered to get in that box, to take all these pieces out and to bring it to Father God and said, here they are. Show me how to piece them together. That's what God is waiting for, is for you and I to humble ourselves and say, I don't have it put together yet. Would you help me? That's all that God is asking for, is surrender. Believe by faith and not by what you see. Because you see the box, you see the contents of the box, and it scares you. It brings fear. And you're like, God, I can't do it because I've messed up so much in the past. I don't even want to take a glance in that box anymore. But God is saying, bring it to me. Bring it to me. And I'll show you. And I'll show you the master plan. Because you are my masterpiece. Would you believe that this morning? That you, yes, you in the back, everyone here is a masterpiece. A masterpiece in the hand of God that only Him can use. Only Him can place you in the path that leads to that destiny that He has for you. To that purpose that He's called you. Even before you were born, God had a plan. God had a plan while I was still a Hindu. Not even serving Him, He had a plan for me. I had to come to the realization that this word that we just read is 100% the truth. I had to come to this conclusion that if I left anything that the enemy can bring in as a doubt, it will rob me of that thing called destiny or purpose. God was saying, you know, would you once just stop looking at the details of every little thing that robs you of seeing the vision, the calling, the purpose, what I've called you to do. Because when you start looking at all these little pixels, those little details, guess what you see? Flaws. You see missing screws. You see ugly pieces. Because you're looking with this microscopic lens. And God said, would you just drop that for once and see the big picture as I see the big picture? Don't worry about the little details. I'll piece it together for you. That's why I'm here. Let me do the hard work for you. You just rest in me. That's really the bottom line, is for us to choose to rest in the finished work of God. Isn't that what we preach? We preach the finished work of Jesus. And yet again, we're trying to finish the works for Him. He's saying, quit trying to finish what I've already done. It's done. It is finished. It's time you see yourself as the final product. That's what God is wanting you and I to elevate ourselves to believe. God wants us to believe this. I had to settle so many things in my heart back in 1996. The truth of God's word, that He had a plan, that He had a dream, that He had a calling. But I knew they were different. Because the dream excited me to follow Him. It excited me. It cost me a lot, but I'm like, it's exciting. It's exciting to serve God. It's exciting to follow Him. It's an adventure. I was ready for this adventure to follow Him, to let go of the past, to start new, to start fresh, knowing that He's on my side. But I knew that they were different, that the dream and the destiny, they were different. I was like, Lord, I just don't want the goosebumps. I don't want just the feel-good aspect of having a dream. Even if it costs me everything that I have, I want to live into my destiny. And I remember saying this to God. I journal. I don't know if anybody of you journal what God speaks to you. If you don't, I strongly encourage you to do that. Because I'm finding myself constantly going back and said, Lord, what did you mean back then? And I go back and I'm like, wow, look at this. My faith was simple back then. I did not overcomplicate things. I saw this and I believed it. I ran with it. And each time was, God, would you just help me to go back to that simple faith when I just saw something and I ran with it and I believe it. Don't let me overcomplicate things. Don't let me get in the way. So sometimes it starts like this when you humble yourself to say, Lord, get me out of my own way, of my own destiny. I want you to take the lead. So it got me to the place where I was like, Lord, would you connect the dream to the destiny? Would you connect that for me? Would you connect the pieces? Because I certainly don't know how. And that's what God wants to do this morning. God is saying, I've got a roadmap for your life. It starts with a dream, and it leads to your destiny. There's always a destination to that roadmap. There's always a destination. There's always a place. It might be a physical place. It might be a spiritual place where God is taking you. But if you get stuck in the details of the journey, guess what? You'll never make the first step forward. You can easily get stuck in the details. You miss the big picture. Because the little details, all you see is flaws, all you see is inadequacies that you have, all you see is the difficulty of the situation, all you see is just the pixel. But God wants you to step back and take a look at the masterpiece that He's created for you. It's called your destiny. And at that point in time, I was like, Lord, give me a glimpse. All I heard was, you're leaving this place. You're leaving London, England. The fast-paced life. Everything is like clockwork. I'm taking you to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Did not make any sense whatsoever. Did not make any sense. The destination was the point that God wanted me to see. He's like, that's where you're going. You don't need to worry about the little details of how you're going to get there. Finances, this, that, leaving family behind, leaving everybody behind, and going to a place where you have no connection. God was saying, I'll connect you to whom I need you to be connected with. Isn't that funny sometimes when we try to orchestrate things? We try to establish connection. Let me sit next to this guy because he's influential. Let me rub shoulders against him because he can make something happen for me. God doesn't need anybody. He's God all by himself. He can put the pieces together better than the next person, the person next to you can. It got to the place where I was like, I have no connection there. Lord, if you want me to get connected, you're going to have to somehow get somebody to know my name. Guess what? When I was in England, there was this. My brother had this friend who knew this friend who knew this friend who lived in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Right by Tulsa. Captain, you know where Broken Arrow is. So this person came to pick me up at the airport with a little sign and had my name on it. I remember coming in, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm coming in from Paris, France, and I'm jet lagged. I mean, I can't even know the day or the time. And I saw this lady had my name. I'm like, it's me. Took me to my hotel room and she took care of me. She took care of me. She took me as her own son to pick my classes at OU. She helped me get into my dorm room, carrying my stuff, make sure I was taken care of. I had no clue who this lady was. But God connected me with her. Further down in our series, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this lady. She was very instrumental in my life. She got me my job, first job. Amazing. Only God can do this if you allow Him. If you allow Him. If you don't take matters in your own hands and you try to say, Lord, you have it. I want to see the big picture. I want to see where you're leading me. My grandfather was in the British Navy. Retired, he got a job as a security guard, or he worked at the National Gallery, the British National Gallery. This is where you see, it's kind of like, I'm trying to find a comparison for here in the U.S. It's kind of like, help me out, Louvre, like in Paris, France, where you have the Monet, the Degas, the Van Gogh. Big, big time picture. British Gallery is very well known. So my grandpa was just somebody who sat on a chair and watched the picture, make sure that kids are not going in and out. You know what I'm saying? That was my grandpa's job. That's all he did. He sat there and he fell asleep most of the time. I remember going and seeing him and he's like, I'm like, Grandpa, who's watching the pictures? Who's watching the paintings? So anyway, that was my grandpa. That was his job. That's what he did. But this is what picture that I get. I mean, you walk to a masterpiece. It's huge. I mean, it's big. I mean, we got this big, 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 big painting of Monet, Manet, and all these impressionist artists that you guys know that I don't. And if you go close to this picture, you don't see anything but brushstrokes and dabs of paint, blue, and all these colors on it. It doesn't make sense. When you look at those pictures, they're worth a lot of money. We're talking about million-dollar paintings. They're right there for everybody to see. But as a kid, what do? You want to get close to stuff. There's a rope there climbing over. You want to reach. You want to grab. You want to do everything to get close to that painting. You know when we immature as a Christian, when God gives us the dream, that's exactly what we do. Stinks. You want to get close. You want to examine. You want to touch. You want to do everything. But God says to see the big picture, you're going to need to step all the way back so that you can see the masterpiece. So that you can see the dream connecting with the destiny. That's what God wants you and me to do. To constantly stand back and see, Jesus, I see where you're leading me. I see the way that you're going to provide. I see the connection that you're trying to establish. You don't need me. All you need is a surrendered heart. You don't need any connection that I can put together by myself. You can do it for me. That's all that God is looking for. The first thing that we must do is this. Put God first. How we connect the dream to the destiny is to put God first. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Above everything else that you know. Above all else that you feel. Seek the kingdom of God. Live righteously and he will give you everything you need. Seek God means this. Do everything his way. Do everything his way. And then God will ask you this question when you say this. I want to do everything your way. Would you let go of your own way and embrace my way, the highway? This is how God spoke to Moses. In Psalm 103, he says this. He gives a little account here of, he said, he made his ways known to Moses. God made his ways known to Moses. His acts to the children of Israel. Moses knew God by the way that he operated. God wants you and me to know him by the way that he operates. God wants us to know him by the way he operates and not, I'm going to say this, this is important, not by the miracles or the manifestations that we see. Sometimes we can be drawn to this, to the manifestations, to everything that is happening. I want to be part of it. I want to do this. I want to see the Spirit move and I want to be right there. We are manipulated by the way, by the manifestation, instead of knowing God for the way that he operates. When you get with the way that he operates, of course there is everything else that the Holy Spirit wants to do. But you don't have to chase that. You don't have to go after the way, the manifestation. God wants you to taste him, to know his ways. That's the way that he revealed himself to Moses. He says, Moses knew me by my ways and not by my actions. If you know his ways, actions will normally follow. But don't follow the actions and let go of God himself. We can easily get caught up in the actions of the manifestations and forget the big picture that God wants us to see. Step back and follow God. Number two is this, get to know God. Get to know him. He's the giver of the dream. Wouldn't that be awesome that you don't just know the dream, but you know the one who gives the dream? Wouldn't that be awesome that you don't just know the one, don't know the destiny, but you know the one who gives birth to the destiny? Get to know God. In Numbers 12, 6 and 8, it says this. If there were prophets among you, I, the Lord, will reveal myself in visions. I would speak to them in dreams. But I want you to catch this. It says, if there were prophets among you, I would speak to them in visions. I will reveal myself to them in visions. I would speak to them in dreams. But not with my servant Moses. Not with my servant Moses. Of all my house, he is the one I trust. Now that's amazing right there. God is saying, of all my house, he is the one. He's the one dude that I trust. And it says this, I speak to him faithfully. must speak to him face to face. I believe this is how we exactly know the ways of God, is when we take the time to speak to him face to face.